You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Appearing on the Road Trippin' podcast with Richard Jefferson, LeBron said that repeating as champs was, quote, simple for the Lakers. He also said age and his newest teammates may be the reason. Take a listen.
If we can stay healthy, but we did get younger. We got the 27-year-old point guard. We got the 27-year-old sixth man of the year, Warren Trez. We got younger.
With Mark.
You know, we got Mark, who's a defensive player of the year, and his IQ playing against, not only playing against him in the NBA, but also playing against him versus Spain.
Some confidence. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is joining us now. So, Chris, do you agree they got better because they got younger?
Well, LeBron looks awfully confident. Was that tequila he was sipping?
Yes.
Yeah, we'd be on it.
He should be confident. The Lakers look great. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They are going to be better. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'll give you this. They lost one thing. Athleticism at the rim in Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee departing. But as LeBron said, Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell, they're different types of bigs, but they can more than make up for what they lost in those two guys that moved on. Gasol, as he said, basketball IQ is great. And you still got AD. AD is, you know, one of the best shot blockers in the league, so he'll be fine at the rim. And the thing is, AD, I expect him to be much better solely because of the confidence he will have gained from winning a championship. He's 27 years old.
And oh, that's another 27-year-old we got.
Just hitting his prime. Yeah, he is going to be much better because now he knows no one can mess with me. Nobody. I mean, he may go for MVP and try to prove he's the best player in the world. So I think that in and of itself is going to help. Let's get to the elephant in the room. Dennis Schroeder. I know people are thinking this could be a big deal. Schroeder said he's going to start. I honestly do not think it's going to be a big deal. I don't know what the Lakers' plan is. He said that they talked to his agent and everything seems like he's going to be penciled in as the starter. I've seen reports that said that's not the case. You know, they're going to play it by ear and let him earn the position. Whatever the case, Schroeder has shown last year that he could come off the bench and play well and that he could play with Chris Paul and with SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So he can play on the ball or off the ball. Even if he starts, LeBron last year had the ball, you know, at times had the ball out of his hands and was more of a scorer. They put him at the pinch post, the elbow, things like that. So they can do that. And then at times, Schroeder can indeed have the ball, and or LeBron can have the ball, and Schroeder can play off it like he did at times last year. He's improved dramatically as a three-point shooter. Even shot almost 39% from three on five attempts a game last year. And look, if he comes off the bench, I'm sure he wanted to start in Oklahoma City. You know, he has started two full seasons in Atlanta and averaged 19 points and six assists. Mm-hmm. So he thought of himself as a starter.
Right.
He goes to OKC, ends up coming off the bench. He was fine. Remember, last year of his contract, the last thing he wants to do going into free agency is disrupt a championship team, have issues with LeBron James. That would not be a good look for him going into free agency. So if he does have to come off the bench, I'm sure it'll be fine. He'll get his points. He'll get his minutes. And he probably will get a ring.
You know, I forgot about the most important 27-year-old. Yeah, that's on this space by battle. Oh, hey, D, baby goat. 27-year-old. 27-year-old Schroeder. 27-year-old Trez Harrell. And it's not so much the age per se. It's the quality of the age of the player that we got. We feel the need. Rob Pelinka basically said, Chris, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to go to the umpteenth hour. Get left with the bag, because we tried that with Kawhi, and we had to scramble and fit pieces together. Now, it came together, and it worked out very well, but I'm not doing that again. The moment he probably got word that Atlanta was going to throw a ton of money at Rondo, he's like, okay, let me try to find me a point guard. And that's what he did. He went out and got a point guard. Rondo was unbelievable. But we know at points in time during the regular season, Rondo is going to get injured, or he has gotten injured over the last several years. Trez Harrell, and granted, I love the fact that we got a guy that's motivated, that's hungry. His type of mentality, it seems to me, what was supposed to be a team full of dogs, they only had two. And it seemed like it was Trez and Lou Williams, because everybody else were porch puppies. And Jermichael Green, he made note of that. I don't know if you heard his quotes, Chris. He said, we had a 3-1 lead. And one team showed a lot of heart, and we called it, packed it in.
He did not say that. You just put words in.
What did he say? There it is, right there.
He didn't say packed it in. He said the Nuggets showed a lot of heart. He's now a Nugget. So, what else is he going to say?
Chris, hold on. If I got a 3-1 lead, I'm up 3-1. And I lose to that team, and I'm on the team that had the 3-1 lead, and he say, well, they had a lot of heart. What are you saying about me? What are you saying about us? Mm. We lack something.
He knows it was all types of mess going on in that locker.
It sure was.
He knows it as well as anybody. Mm.
But Skip, I know. See, what Skip's trying to do, Chris.
I haven't spoken
yet. Yeah,
no.
He going to talk about, hey, LeBron talking about, it's going to be real simple. It's very, very simple. If we come out here and play, it's like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. All Mahomes, be Mahomes, defense don't give up 40 points. We could. Mm. Lakers saying, you know what, if we can stay healthy and our guys just do what you've done in the past, we straight.
Mm.
That's not the simplicity
I'm
of it.
I'm real straight right now. I'm not sure about LeBron, though, because I am loving this. I just got to watch LeBron do a podcast with Allie Clifton and his two buddies he used to play with. And he sit back, he's sipping tequila. I hope he's not hung over on Christmas
Man,
Day.
I hope not.
I doubt it, but I sure hope not. And there are actually two elephants in the room, as Chris pointed out. There's one because, yeah, LeBron, you got younger, but you got way dicier in your locker room because you have two marquee acquisitions. We just talked about Schroeder. He just blatantly, publicly said, maybe delusionally, I want LeBron's job. LeBron's going to play off the ball. And by the way, my agent has already, he took my demands to Rob Pelinka, and Rob signed off on it. That's what Schroeder said. Signed off, I'm going to be the starting point guard, and I bring the ball up, and I will set up the plays and run the plays so LeBron can get his shots.
We lied to him.
Okay, well, something is amiss here, and Schroeder is not one to be messed with because he is his own little man, and he will make a stink if he thinks he got lied to. Meanwhile, the Clippers said, enough of Montrezl Harrell. He became a malcontent. He's challenging everybody in the locker room. He thinks he's better than he is. He is a liability on defense, especially against the Denver Nuggets. And now you have embraced him. You took our problem. It was addition by subtraction for the Clippers, and now he is yours. And when you win sixth man of the year, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, I should be fifth man, fourth man, no, third man. I might should be second man of the year.
No, ain't nobody thinking like that.
Yeah, and he will challenge AD, and he will challenge LeBron, because occasionally they're a little too cool, and they're a little too nonchalant, and sometimes they don't close games with ferocity, with any dog in them. And now you got Montrez ready. He's going to be nipping right at their heels. Well, what's up with that?
Let me ask you a question. Who's Trey's agent? Who's his agent?
Yep. He's another one of those guys.
What do you mean, one of those guys?
Well, KCP stayed. He got way overpaid because clutch clients don't count against the salary cap.
Yeah, very right.
So clutch got his money. So I mean, AD got his money because he's a clutch client.
We don't do infighting.
Oh, okay.
We play hard. The problem that, and I said this, the problem that Lou Will and Trez had with Kawhi and Paul George, he didn't believe they practiced. First of all, they probably didn't practice, and then they didn't believe they played hard all the time.
How about LeBron and AD saying, we don't do shoot-arounds anymore?
Okay, they don't.
How's Trez going to like that?
You know, if I get my ass up out of bed, you better get yours up.
Okay, here we go.
The difference...
Go ahead, Chris.
The difference is the leadership. The Clippers would tell you now, they like their team, and I think they will be second best in the West to start the season. I got them slightly above Denver. But they'll tell you now, they don't have leadership. That's the problem. They don't have leadership.
And
they certainly didn't have leadership last year, so no one could handle the locker room. Now, look at LeBron. Look at the people that have been reputed.
Don't look at me.
Reputed to be problem child that LeBron's handled.
That's what we do.
He's handled DeMarcus Cousins. He's handled J.R. Smith. He's handled Rajon Rondo.
Yep.
He's handled Kyrie Irving. Even Kyrie's had issues everywhere else, but with LeBron, he was able to win the championship. I know they split up eventually, but they got a ring. So LeBron has practiced handling these guys. So I don't see problems in that locker room. When you sign up to play with LeBron, you know it's a championship or bust season.
That's it.
And Schroeder's got to understand, if I win a championship, average 16, 17, off the bench or starting,
the money gonna be there.
I'm gonna get paid in free agency. That's gotta be his mentality.
That's it. That's how it gonna work.
And allow me to add one other point that LeBron made. He's gloating about, we've got a former defensive player of the year in Marc Gasol. He won it in the 1800s. That's how long ago it was. It was in the 1800s. That's how old he is. And by the way, LeBron is now dropping hints. We may add his big brother, Powell. He's 40 years old. He's in mothballs. He quit a long time ago. He's not going to come out of mothballs.
But, Chris, Skips keeps talking about Serge Ibaka. Did you know James Harden averaged more blocks per game than Serge Ibaka? Mm. And so did Marc Gasol? A blocker. Yeah. How you 7 foot tall and a point guard averaging more blocks than you?
Yeah, how about averaging 16 and 8 coming off the bench and shooting 39%?
Hold on. We got two guys that average 19 points and the other average 18.5 coming off the bench.
Yeah, but my guy is a good guy who loves Kawhi Leonard and will fit in.
All your guy can do is cook and wear nice clothes. That's all your guy can do. That's all Serge do.
Because, he's been there and done all that.
He wanted to be Virgil Abloh.
Yeah.
That's all he wants to be.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
In 3 days, it's the fight event of the fall as undefeated Errol Spence Jr. takes on Danny Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship. Available on pay-per-view or buy the fight on foxsports.com/PPV and watch on any screen you want. Well, for the first time since his run with the Warriors ended with an Achilles injury two seasons ago, Kevin Durant said he feels good while playing. KD said he feels solid and isn't going to be focused on avoiding injury again, but instead playing as hard as he can, and he will deal with the results later. Chris Broussard is still with us. So, Chris, what do you expect from KD this season?
I don't expect KD to miss a beat. I expect KD to be as great as he would have been had he never been injured in his 32nd year season, his 14th year in the league. I think he's going to be tremendous for several reasons. Number one, he will have been off, what, 18 months?
18 months.
18 months. Usually guys come back somewhere between 8 to 12 months, I guess on average about 10. He will have had almost twice as much time off. So I don't expect the Achilles to be any problem whatsoever. People might point to a Kobe Bryant, a Chauncey Billups, who were never quite the same after their Achilles injuries. They were much older. KD was 30 when he got injured. He's 32 now. Kobe was 34. Chauncey Billups was 35. I know Elton Brand didn't come back as well. He was 28 when he got hurt, but he was a much different player. His body,
much bigger
he was
man.
Big, he was heavy. Yeah, KD's body should have no problem with the Achilles. Remember, guys, Dominique Wilkins. Dominique was 32 when he ruptured his Achilles, came back 10 months later, and was a two-time All-Star after that, averaged 30 points a game the year after he got back. And, of course, Neek's game, I mean, athleticism, explosion, all of that. That's what his game was. KD's game is based on skill, is based on his height being 7 feet tall. His Achilles is not going to hinder his jump shot, his handle, his basketball IQ. He's going to be great. And remember, the one thing besides, he always says, I just want to be the best player I can be, improve every day. We get that. But you know what else motivates him as much as anything? LeBron James. And he saw what LeBron did last year. KD would love nothing more than to beat LeBron with LeBron's ex-running mate. Oh, man, he is coming out motivated. He's got a dog with him in Kyrie. That's his feeling. And they got a lot of talent elsewhere. Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, you know, Joe Harris can shoot it. They added more shooting with Landry Shamet. So I expect KD to be great. I think he'll be in the MVP race. We'll see how it goes. But I give him a shot at coming out and winning that MVP award.
I agree with everything you just said, and that's what I was saying in the beginning. I mean, yeah, he had ruptured his Achilles, but did it shrink him 5 inches? He's still going to be 7 foot tall. He's still going to shoot that ball at a 9 foot apex. He's still going to be able to shoot the three, mid-range game, put the ball on the floor, get to the rim. You foul him, he's still going to go make 89, 90% of his free throws. So what's different? He's a couple of years older. But his game is not predicated on speed. His game is not predicated on, as you mentioned, Dominique playing above the rim. That's not what Kevin Durant has never been that. So he's not going to be impacted like someone else that relied on speed, that someone else. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how John Wall, because John Wall's game is predicated on speed. John Wall can get up and down the court. So we'll see the impact that the Achilles injury had on him. And remember, Skip, he's been out 2 years also because he hurt his knee, and then he tore his Achilles in the process of healing the knee.
Yep.
So that would be interesting. But Kevin Durant's great. And Kevin Durant can play with anybody. He spent 8 years with Russ. And he was an MVP. He averaged 20, won 4 scoring titles. So Kevin Durant being able to play with someone, that's never the issue. My concern is Kyrie's health, because what we've seen over the last 3 years, he's missed 112 games with regular season and playoffs. But I have absolutely no concerns with Kevin Durant coming back being Kevin Durant.
So you two guys who really, really know basketball acknowledge that Kevin Durant will not miss a beat. Yeah. So if he left as the best player on the planet, he returns as the best player on the planet. Am I right?
No, he did not leave his ass, Skip.
Yes, he did.
No, he did.
By all
right.
accounts.
He did not.
He won back-to-back NBA Finals MVPs in LeBron's house. He upstaged him and outplayed him twice in a row in his house. And he was on track to do it again. The last year that he played in Golden State, look what he did. That year in the regular season, he averaged 6 assists at 7 feet tall. In the 12 playoff games he played before he unfortunately went down, Look at what he did in those 12 playoff games. He averaged 32 points a game, which led all the playoffs in scoring. He made 44% of his threes and 90% of his free throws. When has LeBron ever dreamed of making 44 and 90% from three in the free throw line? Help me out.
Skip.
Come on.
Skip, we're not talking about it. We just said the man's going to come back and be fine. Yeah. And now you're going to try to take a shot at
him. I'm taking it there because LeBron got the greatest break of his career a year ago. It hadn't even been a year ago. Last season, when in the bubble, there was no KD. At the last second, I thought KD and Kyrie were going to say, you know what? We're ready to go. We'll come back and join all this talent you just talked about that Chris detailed. And then you would have had a problem in the bubble.
We wouldn't have had no problem,
Skip. Yeah, you would. You'd have
Skip,
to run into
play,
that.
Skip, you got to play together. You got to build some chemistry. You just can't throw, oh, we got a whole bunch of great guys out there. We just going to throw them out there. How'd that work out for us in the Olympics?
Well, okay, so the reason you deserve an asterisk on your bubble championship is LeBron is right. It's always about health. So the Heat, they didn't have health. In game one, they lost their leading playoff scorer in Dragic and their heart and soul player in Bam. In game one, they're gone. Well, way to go. The injury god said, here, LeBron, we're going to hand you a championship.
Hey, Chris, can I ask you this before you go, Skip? Did they put an asterisk on the Golden State Warriors' first championship when Kyrie and Kevin Love went out? Did anybody put an asterisk on it? I just need to know. Just to be
all.
Well, you Toronto have the best player on the planet.
So you see
that's what you told me then.
So
2015, that's the best stretch of LeBron's career, Skip. Those first three games.
Skip. If that was the case, Kevin Durant should have won because you said Kevin Durant's been the best player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was winning no titles until he got with other great players.
Well, he was stuck with Russell Westbrook.
So now he was stuck.
Well, he was.
Now
you know it and I know it.
So Russ ain't a great player.
Well, he's great. He's the biggest ball hog in the history of basketball. Well, he is. He's great if you give him the basketball.
So what did that say about
Kevin Durant won an MVP in spite of that guy.
You know. If you want to say KD's a better shooter than LeBron, we'll all agree with that.
Yeah.
LeBron would agree with that, but that's it. When KD had the responsibility that LeBron had, that LeBron has pretty much every year, they never won. That's in Oklahoma City. When he went to Golden State, come on, he didn't have nearly the responsibility that LeBron had.
Seriously?
He was playing with a juggernaut.
Wait, Chris.
A juggernaut. They would have won it as great as KD is. They would have won it without
the first
him.
Finals.
Let's just be honest.
In Golden State versus Cleveland, the weight of the NBA world was on those thin shoulders of Kevin Durant because everybody wanted to see him fall on his face in the finals. Am I right about that? And instead, he shot it right in LeBron's face.
Let me tell you how the weight of the world would have been on his shoulders. If aliens had kidnapped Steph Curry, then the weight of the world would have been on his shoulders.
Who was the best player on that team by far?
Right.
By far, it was Kevin Durant.
Skip.
Who did they call?
He was the best player.
Who did you tell me? Wait a second. Draymond in the parking
lot
after they blew their 3-1 lead to LeBron. He's calling KD and you said he was crying.
But they
come save
us. But you know what, Chris? They couldn't hear each other because KD was crying also because he had just blown a 3-1 lead to Golden State. Both of them crying. Hey, hold on. Calm down. I can't hear you.
KD wanted them just as much as they wanted.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about
it. Match made in heaven.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, he's back. The best player is back.
No, and
now you got a roadblock. Now you have the biggest 7-foot roadblock in your way for a championship. And if you can go win this one, I'll give it up to
you. No, you didn't.
If everybody stays healthy and the best player on the planet gets to the finals the way I think they will, they're the second favorite, Foxbet says, to win the East because they got the Bucks just above them tied with the Clippers at number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they do rise up and win the East, which I think they have a great shot of doing, then you would have a quality opponent in the finals. And we'll see
everybody,
if you can overcome the best player.
Everybody
on the
that makes it to the finals is a quality opponent.
Mm. You sound like a coach.
That is a quality opponent. Hold on. Don't you got to beat somebody four times to get? Don't you got to beat somebody four times? So in other words, to get to the finals, you have to have beaten three teams at least four times, Skip, to get to the NBA Finals.
Mm. Well, how hard was it to beat the Heat without Dragic
and
Bam?
Tough. If KD wants to prove he's better than LeBron, this is the year to do it.
Yep, I agree.
Beat LeBron in the finals.
Go.
You know, where each of you got another star, AD, Kyrie.
Yep, here we
go. Pretty, you know, even rosters.
Yep.
Then that's how you prove it.
Here we go. Yeah. KD for MVP, KD for finals MVP.
But guess what? LeBron will win the finals this year. And guess what Skipper say? Michael Jordan never lost. He was 6-0. Michael Jordan would have swept through it. He'd have won all 16 games in the playoffs.
Well, that is true.
See? You see what I'm saying? Crazy? So, but LeBron
ain't
going to win.
Stating facts. Hey. How can I disagree with that?
Uh-huh. Five for five, baby. That's what
really?
We have. Yep.
That's
five MVPs. Five.
How about this?
I just can't believe
six losses.
We're 20 days away from watching the NBA
man.
Back
this
in action.
Hater.
You guys are done with your hand motions. Chris, we appreciate your time. As always, we'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to five times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, Dak Prescott's price tag may be rising thanks to the Cowboys not looking so good without him. Dallas is averaging nearly 18 fewer points and 200 fewer yards per game without Dak in the lineup. And according to the Dallas Morning News, he should remain the starter for the foreseeable future. In order for Dak to sign a long-term deal, though, the Joneses will have to, quote, understand they're not winning this negotiation. In fact, they're going to get their butts kicked. The sooner they accept that, the better. Shannon, do you agree?
Absolutely. The price is never coming down. Instead of what they tried to do is that, like, we'll give you $500,000. We'll give you more. We'll give you $1 million more than what Jared Goff. But what they didn't realize is Jared Goff had the fourth year, a fifth year option. So he was willing to sacrifice some money to get long-term security. They didn't do that with Dak. Dak says, I don't have a fourth year. I don't have a fifth year option. Skip, you should have just went him because they knew where the market was going. Because the only way you can keep him is to franchise him, which is going to put you at somewhere around $38, $39 million. Mm. Dak comes back next year. He wins the division. You franchised him twice. It's going to cost you $50-plus million. Well, you don't want to do that. You're going to end up having to pay Dak Prescott, a guy that's probably not going to have an MVP on his resume, at the time you give him a long-term deal, more than what Kansas City paid Patrick Mahomes. Only because you were trying to be cheap and thought you could get away paying the guy $33 million. You should have just went ahead. Skip, in a negotiation, you want someone to sign the contract early, you got to offer them something they can't refuse. Mm. $34 million, he could have refused it. But if you just went ahead and took a leap, says, you know what, Dak? We believe in you.
Hmm.
$37 million.
No, it was 40 plus. 40 plus.
Skip.
For 5 years. Skip. 42.
If you, no, Skip. Y'all tried to penny pinch him and tried to give him 500.
Penny pinch him at 36?
No.
Table.
Now he's 36.
Yep. That's what I heard.
The reports in the beginning said they're willing to do a Jared Goff, a Carson Wentz type deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe a million more. That's what it was. It was 33, 34. Mm. Now he didn't sign. Well, they had 36. No, you didn't. Because if, well, you should have. Deshaun Watson got $39 million with the fourth year option and a fourth year and a fifth year option.
He's up in the 40s in overall average, Deshaun, and he deserves it because he is that good.
And to make a long story short, the price isn't coming down.
Mm.
Everybody thought, Skip, you look at the housing market. We're in a pandemic, and the L.A. price of the housing market is going through the roof. So if you think
that's not true. There's some neighborhoods where it's coming down.
Well, I know. It ain't coming down the neighborhood I'm in.
I know.
It ain't coming down the neighborhood
I'm in. You live up in Bel Air.
Don't worry about where I live. Stop telling me where I live. But anyway, Skip, if you think this price is coming down for this guy, because you see what y'all look like? You see what your quarterback look like? It ain't coming down, Skip. You
know, I saw my quarterback win at Minnesota a couple weeks ago.
And I saw him lose at home to a guy on one leg. He lost to a guy. Alex Smith hadn't played really, started one game in 2 years. And you, that dude,
after he lost both starting tackles in the first drive.
You didn't say anything. Hold on. You don't say anything about Wentz.
Wound up with two undrafted kids, a rookie and a second year player at tackle.
What are those tackles that in
Interesting.
Philly? Are they
Interesting.
Any good?
Listen, they aren't as bad as those two.
Equally.
Trust me.
Skip, the price ain't coming down, and you know it.
All right. This is so ironic because you have little to no respect for Dak Prescott because last year you gave him six Fs in his last 13 starts.
Brady got four this year.
So I love Dak Prescott way more than you do, but I don't overlove him. I don't lose all objectivity. I've told you he's around the 10th best quarterback in the league. Sometimes he might be 9th or 10th. But I can't give him any better than that, so I can't give him $42 million. Jerry Jones did exactly the right thing. He dug in and said, I'm sorry, that's too rich for even my blood.
Okay.
And now he looks like a genius because of what's going on in Philadelphia with your guy.
Skip,
give it to him, Wentz. They are, every story I read, we're stuck with Carson Wentz.
But let me ask you a question,
Skip. And wait a second. How about what's going on with the other guy who got paid? How about Jared Goff? Sean McVay is admitting publicly that he at least considered pulling him out of the Miami game in which he turned it over four times in the first half, and considered this past Sunday in pulling him out of a San Francisco game in which they lost to the 49ers, their arch rival in the division, for the fourth time. That's correct.
Right.
They are stuck with Jared Goff just the way your Eagles are stuck with Carson Wentz.
But just skip. If you don't sign Dak Prescott, if you don't sign Dak Prescott, you're stuck without a quarterback, which is even worse.
Okay, so what are you supposed to do? I know where this is coming from with you. You want my team to dramatically, dangerously overpay Dak Prescott and get stuck with him for 5 years when he can't live up to that kind of money.
Well, then, so just move on. If you don't believe you can live up to that kind of money, just move on. Why wasting your time?
Just hang in there. Give him the tag and give him another tag.
So in other words, you want to give him a tag at $38 million and another tag at about $53 million.
And I want to see the second tag. No, the second one is 30.
38.
Okay, that's the second one, not the third one.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you don't want to do that. You're going to have to fish or cut bait.
Okay,
you'll find out what he is because he just suffered a career-threatening ankle.
Broken bones is nothing.
Okay, well,
if it was an Alex Smith, I would give you.
See, but that was an Alex Smith type deal. And I think even you would admit that with Dak Prescott, we've seen this alarming pattern in his game. And again, you love the James Beard Award. Is he not the chef of the year when it comes to empty calories? Because that's all you ever tell me.
That's what your guy did. You just told me your guy just did the exact same thing, and you heaped praise on him.
What are you talking about?
Tom Brady.
Okay, he almost came back and won the game.
That's what Dak almost does.
No, he doesn't almost do that because we've seen this alarming trend in which they fall woefully, dangerously, hopelessly behind, and it started a year ago because it happened again and again and again. Remember Green Bay? I'm going back 2 years ago. They went up 31-3 in the first half, and you, as you always say, didn't Dak get the ball? Didn't the quarterback get the ball?
So what was the final score of that game?
Well, they came back and within a touchdown.
Okay, so he almost won it.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Tom was down three with 4:10 left, and the defense couldn't get the ball back. That Green Bay game would have required a field goal made, which the guy gagged.
Right.
Remember that? And then an onside kick recovery, which is virtually impossible.
Cadillac what Dallas did against Atlanta, you know, which means to get a touchdown, so get the onside and kick a field goal. Okay.
I'm just being honest for Cowboy Nation right now. In his last 17 starts, Dak Prescott is 6-11. And if we look at last year in three big road games against Teddy Bridgewater's Saints, and then against Tom Brady's New England, and then against Carson Wentz's Philadelphia, they're big games. He scored 10, 9, and 9 in those games. And then fell woefully behind at Jets 21-3 to the Vikings at home 14-0.
Did he almost come back and win those games?
And then Buffalo 26-7. No. Chicago fell behind 24-7 and then 31-14 in the fourth quarter. They were all empty calories, and you gave him Fs for all those games. And then this year, they start off 1-3, and the only reason they had the one was a miracle happened at the end of the Atlanta game in which they fell behind 29-10 at halftime and 39-24 entering the fourth quarter. And it took a miracle onside kick recovery to save that game. And by the way, in the one game Dak played where they came back to get the lead, it was against the New York Football Giants. They were down 17-3 in the second quarter. They had come back to lead 24-23 when Dak went down and out for the season. And it took Andy Dalton coming in to save the day in that game.
But this is what
I can't make the case. I can't genuinely, authentically make any case for Dak Prescott being a top five quarterback, top three quarterback.
But this is what the problem that I'm having with this. Last year when we was having this discussion and I say there was empty calories, you say no, they weren't, and you was giving him B's and A's.
No, I'm giving B's for some of those.
Yes! Yeah. So why?
And I also gave him some C's.
Okay, but they were all empty calories. Empty calories shouldn't get B's and C's.
Yeah, I mean, he can be a valiant warrior coming back in
those games.
Kind
of like Tom Brady, right?
Okay. No, not like Tom Brady, because that was a ball game in the second half because he was just lighting you up. That was a game. That was a competitive battle.
Skip.
That wasn't a long shot for him to come back. He came back. No, it was a done deal. It's 27-24 with 4 minutes and 10 seconds left. How can you say that?
Hold on.
Did it take a miracle at the end of the game? No, it just took the defense getting the ball back within 2 minutes.
Tom
Brady would have won that game. If you gave him the ball with 2 minutes left, I promise you, he would have at least tied that game and sent it to overtime. He was on fire in the second half.
I'm having a hard time. My definition of come from behind victory and your definition of come from behind victory is something entirely different. I thought you actually had to be behind, get the lead, and win the game.
So
not get within 3 points and lose.
Dak was behind to Cleveland this year at home 41-14.
Yes.
You like that? That's not what happened at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, hold on. If you don't mind me asking, he got the game within what? If the defense could have got him the ball back, what would have
It was a miracle. It would have been a miracle. Well, it could have. But Atlanta was a miracle. Even you said it the next day.
But see, Skip, why is it that every time that Dak would have needed a miracle, but Tom Brady wouldn't have needed a miracle?
Okay, they're down 17-0 after one, and here they came. They won the last three quarters 24-10.
Skip.
Because Brady was on fire.
Skip, you do realize
it was a battle.
Hold on. What was it?
This is about Dak Prescott, and you can't defend it.
Hold on.
You know, Jerry Jones did the right thing.
Dallas was down 40.
Wasn't
Dallas Cowboys down 41-17?
To who?
To Cleveland.
41-14.
41-14.
Yeah.
And they came all the way back, and if they get a stop.
Did I ever think that was a game? No, I did not.
But you
tell me it was a game.
But you thought, Skip, all they had to do was stop Odell. If they stop Odell, they didn't get the ball back.
27-24? With 4 minutes left?
Okay. So, in other words, you needed your defense to do... In Tampa, you needed the defense to get a stop. Dak needed his defense to get a stop.
Yeah.
But that was a miracle. Well, but Tom Brady didn't need a miracle.
Okay, well, Mahomes was starting to choke at the end of that game. Well, he was. He missed a wide-open receiver that could have been the final
Let me ask you a question. If a guy's going to choke, do you believe the coach will let him throw two passes when the team doesn't have a timeout? The team doesn't have a timeout. That guy's choking. You throw two passes.
Yep.
That don't look like no choke job to me.
Closed the deal against a defense that has been torched for three straight home games.
Hey, what about your quarterback? What about your quarterback? Where did your quarterback rank in the interception list this year in the NFL?
I don't know. This is about Dak. And since you lost this argument, you got to change the subject.
Skip.
It's okay.
Skip.
Next question.
As simple as this. You got no choice. The price ain't coming down. If you think you're going to get Dak for less than the $40 million, you're fooling yourself.
Jerry played it perfectly.
Skip, either you pay him or somebody's going to pay him $40 million. So, in other words, Dak wins. You make it seem like the Cowboys are the only one that got money. The 31 other teams got money.
Well,
Just watch the tape, and you'll start saying,
I tell you what. So what, if he's not worth the money, if he can't live up to it, mm-hmm. why did Jerry put the tag on him?
Mm. Well, you just keep playing yeah. to see if he figures it
why?
Out.
Why? He can't play. He can't play. You already figured that out.
I didn't give him Fs. You did.
No, but hold on.
You gave him Fs.
He can't
you're
play.
You're disqualified.
He can't play, though.
So? That's what you said.
So why you...
Six Fs in the last 13 games?
I just want to know why Jerry keep tagging him. Why he's going to tag him again after career-ending injury. Mm. Why would you tag a guy coming off a career-ending injury? Mm,
you know why.
Exactly.
Right. Well, yeah.
Exactly
he
why
he's
going
to
get paid.
The subject, so that's where I come into the equation.
No mercy.
Tom Brady had nearly 350 passing yards and three touchdowns on Sunday. However, it came in a losing effort to the Chiefs. And to make matters worse, Patrick Mahomes had over 100 more yards without any interceptions compared to Brady's two picks. Former All-Pro quarterback Antonio Cromartie is joining us now. So here's the thing, Antonio. You've now had a few days to think about it. While Skip and Shannon, they have been battling over this for the last couple of days. So what letter grade would you give Brady for his performance Sunday against Mahomes?
I gave him a D-.
A what?
And the reason I said that, I went back and watched the game, and I watched actually the coach's copy just to see how was he doing, what reads was he making. He missed a lot of wide-open passes. If you look at in the first half, he was really trying to force-feed Mike Evans the whole entire time when he had other guys wide open. You know, even on crossing routes. I give you an example, 5:03 left in the third quarter. He throws the interception to, I think he was going throwing to Scotty Miller. He had Tyler Johnson wide open in the middle of the field, where he could have made that play and kept the drive going. But it's things like that he's not doing. Even on the first series, on the 3rd and 6, he had Antonio Brown wide open. And he tried to force the ball to Mike Evans on a curl route. He had Antonio Brown on a pivot route. So it's things like that. That's why I gave him a D-. He's not making the right reads. He's not being confident when he's throwing the ball. He's not stepping into his throws. And he has time. He had time to make the reads that he needed to. If you go back and just watch the things that he's doing, he's playing one side of football. He's already dictating where he's going to throw the ball just by his body language and the way he turns the ball. So I'm expecting more from the GOAT, if that's what, you know, everyone wants to call him right now. But he's not playing nowhere near GOAT status right now.
I got one quick question. Are you saying he's not the GOAT?
I mean, it's a lot of people you call the GOAT.
Lot of people. Who else?
You can call Aaron Rodgers the GOAT.
Okay. So Tom Brady is not the GOAT, says Antonio Cromartie.
I'm not saying he's not the GOAT. I say he's not playing GOAT-ish. You're not seeing the things that he's not playing. You can tell he's trying to force the ball down the field, something that he's not used to doing, and he's not making the right reads. Like, early on in the game, he's forcing the ball to Mike Evans. Why? Why are you forcing the ball? He threw the ball. Think about this. There were 5 plays in that first series. All 3 passes went to who? Mike Evans.
Could we please see the one that he threw to Mike Evans that went right through Mike Evans' hands that would have changed the game? Because it would have set up a touchdown that would have gone ahead 7-3.
There's plenty of things that went on.
Yeah. Did you see this throw, Mr. Cromartie? I can't throw it any better than this. This is so sweet. It goes right down the chimney, right through Mike Evans' hands. It would have been a 40-yard gain and set them up in the red zone.
So you're gonna Skip, you're gonna pick one play when Tom Brady missed 15 reads.
That's how he does.
Okay, so help me out here. I watched Tom Brady in the second half dominate this game. I saw Tom Brady wind up with 369 yards passing in only 23 minutes time of possession. He had 5 of 20-plus yards. 369 in 23 minutes. If I extrapolate that out to the 37 minutes that Patrick Mahomes had the football, that would mean 555 yards passing for Tom Brady. That would be the all-time record, but he missed 15 reads. Maybe he should have thrown for 700 yards. I don't know.
If was a fifth, we'll be all wet.
How about if the defense had just gotten him the ball back? He cut it to 27-24 with 275-yard drives. He was missing reads everywhere. But he threw another one to Mike Evans for a 31-yard touchdown, if we could see that. I don't know, maybe I dreamed this one. A 31-yard touchdown, and it was the sweetest throw of the day. This is actually double coverage. He says, I got this. How sweet is that? That's the GOAT for you.
So now we're gonna blame it on the defense, right? Yeah.
There we go.
If you watch the game,
and then
he missed 15 reads in the game.
He force-fed Mike Evans for another touchdown from 7 yards out, and it was 27-24 with 4 minutes and 10 seconds left in the game. And his sorry defense couldn't get the ball back. If it had, he was gonna go win that game, and he might have missed 8 more reads in the final drive, but I think he would have got it in the end zone.
Crow, do you notice when Tom Brady does not give the ball back to the opposing team's offense, is Tom Brady playing keep away? Tom Brady being great. He never says anything about the sorry defense as long as Tom Brady is on the end that's kicking butt. But when somebody else is kicking Tom Brady's defense butt, that defense is sorry. You didn't say the defense was sorry when that Jamel Dean ran that pick six back against Green Bay.
Wait a second. Have you ever seen a sorrier strategy than Todd Bowles, who Crow knows very well? Todd Bowles tried to single cover Tyreek in the first quarter with Carlton Davis, who can't run. Jamel Dean can run. He was out with a concussion. So let's just put Carlton solo on Tyreek.
Let me get into the game plan of a Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles, you use David as a physical guy to use him press to try to get the leverage off of him. They move Tyreek Hill around a lot. No matter how you look at it, if you looked at the very first play, they ran him in a short motion. A zoom motion across the formation. Nobody covered him. Nobody. Whoever number 23 was on this defense was playing a cover two.
Buddy
was
Murphy.
Actually in a single high safety.
Right.
So you got to think about it. It's mistakes on them. It's not the call. It's about the execution of a call. It doesn't matter what a coach is called. If it's not executed the right way, it's not gonna look like it's supposed to.
Okay, so you're saying that Carlton Davis didn't have him in single coverage much of the first quarter?
Look, Davis could have made so many plays on the ball. He never looked for the ball because he was intimidated by Tyreek Hill.
Who is he?
Well, you can't play corner.
You can't play that way in this league.
You can't play corner.
Come on, he's the fastest man in football. It's not even close.
It doesn't matter. At one point in time, Mike Wallace was one of the fastest guys in the NFL. And guess what I had to do? I had to cover him as a rookie for 18-9 routes. Did they throw the ball to him? No, but that's not the point. It's not understanding. Okay. It's just understanding what you're going to get into this game.
But Carlton Davis is no Pearl Marty. He's just not. It's not even close.
But it doesn't matter. He was intimidated by a guy, and he could not go out there and play the way he wanted to go play.
He caught 203 yards of receiving yards in the first quarter. 203 yards. But who's ever done that?
Hold on. So is that the call or is that the play? Is that the player?
It sure looked to me like it was mostly the player.
But you know what, Crow? Listen,
my point exactly.
I want to get because your grade, you gave him a D-. I gave him an F because here's the thing. Tom Brady actually threw for 345 yards. 327 of those yards came when Brady was down by double digit. Hold on. On his first four drives, he had one first down. He was 0-for-4 on third down. That would allow him to stay on the field. In the first
What about the Mike Evans drop? Are we just going to sweep that under the carpet?
In the first three quarters, he had 10 points on two drives. And he only had two drives with two or more first downs. Skip. Now, this is what I was just trying to somebody tell me. The GOAT. With Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Rob Gronkowski scored 24 points on a defense that the Raiders got 40-31.
A defense that is ranked 6th in the NFL in points allowed. That defense. Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank you.
So why did you
bringing that up.
Yeah, hold on.
You're wrong again.
So let me get this right. A defense that's ranked 6th in the lead in points allowed gave up 40 to the Raiders, 31 to the Raiders, and 31 to the Carolina Panthers. Mm. And your sorry team got 24.
Mm. Well, guess what, Tom Brady? I want our viewing audience to understand. This man gave him an F, and that man, Cromartie, gave him a D-. And in the last three quarters against the Kansas City Chiefs, sixth-ranked defense, he threw for 313 yards and three touchdowns, going 22 of 31. But he must have missed 20 reads.
If you don't mind me asking, how many points were they down? Were they in the lead?
They were down 17 to nothing after one quarter. Okay. And then guess what? The last three quarters, they outscored Patrick Mahomes 24 to 10. In the second half, Patrick Mahomes threw for a grand total of 103. I don't know what happened.
You better realize you can turn into a passing offense when you're behind. So what you're gonna do? So basically, you're just padding your stats because that you're
padding your stats. You got it back to 3 points with 4:10 left. Padding your stats? That's insane.
Only thing you can do is throw the ball. When you're down by 17, you're not gonna stick to the game plan.
The Brady hate on the show is overwhelming. I need to put my mask on. I need my mask.
Anytime Brady got outplayed. So what?
Thank you.
Did he really get outplayed? I don't know.
Let me tell you what Skip did. Skip gave Brady the same grade as Mahomes with two interceptions and 100 fewer yards. Yeah.
And you know what? Brady did all this with one hand tied behind his back. Because do they screen pass the way Brady loves to screen it? None. Do they run any motion? They don't motion because Bruce Arians does not believe in it. Do they swing pass it? No, they don't do that because they don't have a swing pass catching back.
Bro, Jones went 37 yards on the swing pass.
That wasn't a swing pass. That was a downfield pass.
That's the point. Brady is not making the right reads.
And finally, do they play action, which is Brady's bread and butter? No, they don't, because they rank 28th in rushing in the NFL. Help me out. What am I missing here? This was a masterpiece by Tom Brady for the last three quarters.
What's Kansas City
ranking
rushing?
And if Mike Evans would have caught the first ball, we might really be having a conversation.
What is Kansas City ranking rushing?
I don't care.
Exactly. Really so care. It doesn't matter. If you got that, one team had 15, the other guy had 12.
I'll bet they're above 28.
I don't know if we figured anything out here, Antonio, but we should enjoy it.
We did.
I'm not so sure about that.
He got a D minus. Yeah.
We appreciate you joining us and your grade. We'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.